B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Let me get one of the legends up here. We're just talking about him. He is a Philadelphia treasure. That's right, on the Comcast Business Hotline, Larry Boa. Bo!
What's up, Ant?
Oh, man, brother, today would have been opening day.
I know. It's tough times right now, but, you know, we got to stay strong and obey the rules. And
yes.
Hopefully we're back out there sooner rather than later, but this is more important than any sport. And I know we're all sports fanatics here in Philadelphia, and there's a big void in our life right now, but we got to take care of what's going on out there right now.
Amen, brother. Amen. And first, how you doing? How you doing with all this?
I'm doing good, Ant. I just came up from Florida. I stayed down there an extra week. I thought maybe that they would keep the facilities open, but it seems like it's just going to be open for rehab guys.
Yeah.
And so basically most of the players went to their home bases and are waiting like everybody else, saying a lot of prayers. It's tough because you turn on the news and it's very depressing right now. So you try to stay positive, and it's tough right now.
You know, what we're trying to do is we're trying to kind of get lost in sports and what we kind of love about them. And so it's like today on the show, it's the Philly Five. It's the five things, five questions about the Phillies and what we love about baseball, what we enjoy, and our favorite players. And
right.
So we're trying to get into that kind of conversation, because I do think that sports can be medicinal, in that it can take your mind. I mean, you put on CNN and you just want to, you know, jump off a bridge.
I know. And, you know, and I look back at 9/11, and, you know, when was the right time to go back? Nobody really knew, but we did know that once we did get on the field, it would take people's minds away for maybe 2 hours or 3 hours. And we're not forgetting what happened, but it sort of eases your mind a little bit. But you guys do a good job, man, talking on the radio and everything and trying to stay positive, because there's really not too much we can do. We just got to, you know, obey the rules more than anything. You know, the distancing, washing your hands, when you go outside to walk and everything, whether you're riding a bike, walking, or jogging, you know, don't take advantage of it. I saw in a paper in Chicago where people were running like it was a 5K race, and the governor said that he's going to have to shut down Michigan Avenue if they continue to do that. So we gotta obey the rules. I think that's the most important thing.
Yeah, amen, brother. You're so right. So right about that. I'm curious, and I want to talk a little bit about the game itself and then kind of have some fun with you.
But, okay.
We're going through this time, and you know, with the self-distancing and being at home, time's different, right? We don't have the same hustle and bustle, so we're forced to almost have a different approach to life.
Yep.
And in the positive sense, it's like, you know, we're kind of embracing the slowness of life a little bit and time. And I started to think about baseball. And you know how, you know, you've heard it a million times about, you know, times are so fast and the electronics and kids and their brains,
right,
and the game being slow. I almost think my theory is that we're going to have a rekindling for the love of the game. And not guys like you or me,
right,
but like other younger people. And I think the baseball is going to make a big comeback, like because we're getting used to a slower pace.
You know what, Ant? I agree with you. You know that saying, slow down and smell the roses?
Yes.
I think sometimes we get caught up in our world, and everything, as you said, is fast-paced, and we don't really appreciate the finer things in life. And I think the fact that what we're going through right now, no one wants to go through it, but it's making you understand that the things that are important to you, your family, people around you, when you are walking and you keep your social distancing, everybody seems to be congenial. They're waving,
yes,
they're saying hi. I agree with that 100%. Even though we're going through a very tough time right now, it makes us stop and smell the roses, so to speak, and appreciate what we do have. We will overcome this. We've overcome a lot of things our country. And there's no doubt in my mind that we're going to get back to where we should be. But it's going to take time, and it's going to take patience, and it's going to take that saying, you know, we are in this together. That means everybody, no matter what you do, where you live, we're in this together, and we got to fight it like we're one. And hopefully we can get this thing resolved, as I said, sooner rather than later.
Yeah. If we do, and I saw the commissioner talking about this in there, and listen, he's got to be able to come up with different idea. It's really tough right now because we don't know what the future lies,
right?
And we don't know when we can come back. What is your thought on a possibly going into November and doing a neutral site World Series?
Yeah, you know what, Nance? I mean, I know they're trying to get all these games back and everything. I just don't think it would be fair for the fan base if you happen to be the team, like say the Phillies. Because I had a good vibe down there, Ant, before all this.
Oh, really?
I like our team. It would be really unfair that say we started up and we did win, and now we have to go to Houston, or we have to go where there's a dome in Tampa, or we have to go to the West Coast where the weather's better. I think you're doing your fans a bad service right there, because especially here in Philly, I mean, we have some avid baseball fans. For us to go out there, and if we happen to win, and say, oh, by the way, you guys are going to play your playoff games in Houston, Texas, I think you're hurting your fan base. But I understand that people want baseball. It's going to be a tough call, and that's why the commissioner's going to have to make this call. I think they're going to try to get as many games in as they possibly can. There was even rumors saying that when it did start up, there might be doubleheaders that are seven innings each game, like in the minor league. So, but again, now you're starting to deal with records and things of that nature. So there's more into this than just saying, oh, yeah, this is what we're going to do. So the people up top are going to have some tough decisions to make. And again, hopefully the decisions come sooner rather than later.
Yeah. Doubleheaders, man. But it makes me think of going to watch you play 5:35 twilight doubleheaders. Were they great?
Exactly. They were fun. I mean, I didn't like doubleheaders, a lot of them, but every now and then you like those because, you know, it's a continuous game. It's one admission. You get to watch two games, and, you know, you sort of deal with it. And I think these players are very adaptable to whatever they come up with. Obviously, it's going to have to be agreed with the players and the owners. And I know all these guys would love to be playing right now, but obviously we know there's other problems that are much bigger than a baseball game.
We're talking to the great Larry Boa on the Comcast Business Hotline, Beyond Fast. Bo, let's have some fun for a second. And I want you to kind of take me back into you as the baseball treasure of Philadelphia, like synonymous with the game of Philadelphia. And when you think about the love affair that Philadelphia has with the Phillies and the sport, and listen, that includes all the grousing, right, that we do.
Oh, yeah.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
It is. It's a great thing. You know, when I go down to spring training, we talk to kids that are coming up through the minor leagues, I tell them this is the greatest place in the world to play. I said, you have to be mentally tough to play here. And they appreciate when you play nine innings and 27 outs. And that's how I approach this game. And I think that's why that I've been accepted in this city, is that I played the game the right way. You know, I never gave up. Obviously, the odds were against me, never playing high school baseball, not getting drafted. But the fact that I persevered and played a long time and got over 2,000 hits. I mean, it's a blue collar. I had a blue collar mentality, and it was a perfect town for me to play in. If I'd have played somewhere else, Ant, I really don't know if I'd have stayed in the big leagues, because this city really motivated me to the point where, you know, I wanted to prove to them that somebody took a chance with me, and it paid off. And I tried to tell these kids, if you work hard, and don't go through the motions some games. You got, you know, it's a grind. It's a grind to play baseball. It's a hard game to play. But these fans here, they appreciate what you do. And if you do it day in and day out, I'm not going to tell you that you're never going to get booed. You know, part of being a good baseball player is the fact that you're getting booed. They care.
Yeah.
But the other part of it is when you do things well, And I keep reverting back to that parade at the very first World Series ever in Philly in 1980. That's something you take to your grave with. That is something nobody will ever take away from you. And I wish every player that puts on a uniform could go through something that we went through like that, because you really appreciate the game more when you look back on that and say, man, that was a grind. But to say, hey, we were the best in 1980 over every single team in baseball, that's something you can be very proud of. And the fact that,
especially
again,
that like
getting drafted and everything, it even meant more to me than anything.
And the journey. I was telling Andrew, because he's younger, and I was telling him, listen, I love Citizens Bank Park. It's the greatest. I love that place.
Right.
It's beautiful. But the vet had 68,000 people, 70,000 people. Like nobody, you saw that place rocking.
Hey, Hans, I'm telling you, that when they brought on the horses, and there was like a lull in the action, I reverted back to when I was throwing a ball against the wall saying, hey, there's a ground ball, and everybody picks it up, throws it first, and they win the World Series. And I say to myself, do I want that ground ball right now? But all these things were going through my mind when these horses were coming out. And like you said, we had 68,000, 70,000 people on the stands, and they were going crazy. I mean, if people could, the people that never got a chance to see that, if you could have just felt the energy in that ballpark in that ninth inning, it's something that as an athlete, as a fan, that you never, ever forget. And that's the one thing that you grab onto and say, man, those were special times.
Oh, and the journey that because of going to the playoffs, 76, 77, 78, and
right.
The series where – I mean, they were. It's like bloodletting, man. Black Friday. I was the game. Are you kidding me? It was horrible.
It was terrible. And you know, we had teams. You know, I talk to Charlie a lot, and he says, you know, Bo, he's talking about his team. He says we should have won three or been in three World Series. And I said we were the same boat, but we kept playing Cincinnati and the Dodgers. We had the red machine, and then if we had instant replay, the Davey Lopes play. If that comes on with instant replay, he's out at first base. Who knows what would have happened? But the times you got kicked up, kicked and put down in those playoffs, it was worth the wait. I mean, at the time it happened, you said, man, if we're ever going to get here again, and then in 80, we did get there again. But you look back and you say, we had some pretty good teams from 75 on.
Oh, and, incredible.
Yep. And I look at, you know, people try to compare the two teams, the 08 and the 80. It's very difficult because it's two complete different games that's played now.
Yeah.
I mean, first of all, you put Schmitty and Bull in Citizens Bank Ballpark, no telling how many home runs those guys hit.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you remember the vet, you had to hit balls to get them out of the ballpark. So the game was a lot different, but there were two good teams. The 08 team was an outstanding team, and our team was an outstanding team. It would have been fun to watch if you could do that, but you know, we all know that would never have happened. But I like to compare the two, and it's pretty evenly matched, really.
It really was. I mean, it's amazing. But both those teams were great clutch players.
Yeah.
Great. You know, the similarities between the two teams were the incredible clutchness and great baseball acumen, right? Like with you and Pete and Schmitty and Booney behind the plate and with Chase and, you know, Jimmy, oh my God, and Ryan and Chooch behind the plate. The same kind of baseball acumen you guys both had.
Yeah, and you know, take a look at the pitching. You know, we had the big guy, Carlton, on the mound, and they had their starting pitching, which was very good. But, you know, it's just fun to reminisce. And, you know, going through times like this, you get to reminisce a lot. And I've been watching the MLB station. I saw that 23-22 game played at Wrigley Field. And some of the things you forget a little bit about. And as soon as you see it, you go, oh, yeah, I remember that play. I remember that. And then going to Montreal in 80 and Schmitty coming up with a big home run there. And these things, you sit down sometimes, you forget about it. But when you're isolated like this and there's really not a lot to do, you start looking back and the memories, it doesn't take long to remember, oh, yeah, I remember that play. Or I remember getting that hit at that time. It's fun to watch.
What do you remember from 23-22?
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
I remember that that Schmitty, this is unbelievable because the wind was howling out, okay? And yeah. Schmitty was in a little funk. And I was sitting right next to Danny Ozark, and Schmitty says, hey, Danny, you know, I need to get on track here. Let's put a few hit and runs on. And I looked at Schmitty and I went, Schmitty, you're going to tell Danny to put a hit and run on with you hitting? Are you kidding me? You can hit it by your knuckles and the ball go out. And the fact is he hit two home runs that game. But that stood out in my mind more than anything. That was one thing. And the other thing that stood out, Ange, was Randy Lurch, who started that game. You know, he had the three previous games he pitched really good. And we didn't get any runs. And I know he didn't mean it, but he made a statement like, he said, man, if we score some runs there, I have three wins in a row. And so, you know, as an everyday player, you read that and you go, oh, really? So we go out and score six runs, and I remember going right by him, and I said, hey, is that enough for you? And I kept running, and he didn't get out of the first inning. He gave up seven. So stuff like that, it stands out in your mind because, you know, I said, I remember when Randy said that. I know he didn't mean anything by it, but when you're a player, you know, oh, you got some runs, what do we? And I said, well, we got six at the top of the first. I said, and I, and he looked at me like, really? And he didn't get out.
That is awesome. You know, it's, it made me think about too. The media, imagine, it was so different, man. Like,
it was tough, man. I mean, when you think about the media, the media today is good, but everything is, I don't know. They're a lot tamer, I think.
Yes.
Because obviously the analytics, it's hard to second guess because, you know, when you have all the analytic information and you bring in a right-hander to face a left-handed hitter, back in the day, if you did that and the left-handed hitter got a hit, you would get crucified, whether you were a manager, whether you were the pitcher. But now, because the analytics are so strong in the game, it says, hey, this guy hits 30 points less when he's facing a right-hander, so you bring in the right-hander. So if you wanted to second-guess as a manager or as a player, you just say, you know what, the analytics said this was the right way to go. So the writers were a little bit more, they were tougher, I think, when we played. But obviously the information they have now and everything, I think it's a lot easier to be tamer, if you want to use that word.
Yeah.
They're not as tough on players now as back in the day because they could go for your neck at times, Stamp. You know, you covered this team, and at times, you know, you didn't even want to pick up the paper. But it's a lot better now. There's no question about that.
No, and the other thing that's different is, oh my God, the social media. Wait, you guys?
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that I put it this way.
Really?
Yes, I'm glad we didn't have that because you know we used to hang out after a game.
Yeah.
If we were on the road. And you went into our hotel we're staying, you could see five or six guys sitting down having a beer and talking about the game of baseball. You can't do that now because people are taking pictures of you. And, it's tough for players now. You got to go to your room and play video games.
It's so weird. I know. It sucks.
Really is weird.
It sucks because it's a shame because there's nothing better than going back and talking about the game. Like, having a couple beers and talking about the game is the greatest.
And we used to, at home, I remember us staying till 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning after a game, whether we won or lost, going over what could I have done better, or, man, what about this play? Do you think we did this right? But you learn a lot by talking with your teammates. But again, with the social media now, obviously back then we could have a beer after in the clubhouse. Yeah. They don't allow that anymore because of accidents and things of that nature. But those are things I think players don't realize that those were really times where you got to bond together.
Yeah.
Whether you won, like I said, whether you won or whether you lost, and we were very critical of each other after a ball game sitting around, and guys didn't take it personal. They took it as constructive criticism, and we really learned a lot by talking to one another.
Yeah, yeah, you bust each other's balls. Nobody's crying.
It was
great. I got two quick things that I'll let you go, and I really appreciate this. One, we're replaying games every day at 12:20. We pick a different game.
Right.
And we do four games. We do like basketball, baseball, hockey,
right,
and football, right? So today we're doing Phillies, Dodgers, the Stairs game, because you were the third base coach.
Yeah, I was.
For the Dodgers.
Yeah. And crushed it.
What do you remember about that?
I remember that Broxton came in and tried to throw a fastball by him, and the ball's still going. We 2 years in a row we got eliminated by him.
Yeah.
I guess if I had to say, as much as you know me, I hate losing, but if I had to lose to somebody, I guess it was because of the Phillies, where I've grown up and this has been my entire life here. But those were good games. They were good baseball games, and that's going to be a good game to talk about. But they came up big when they had to. I mean, Victor Hamlin had a big home run that game.
Yes.
And Stairs hit a bomb, and Broxton had trouble against the Phillies. No matter if you played in L.A. or if you played at Citizens Bank Park, he had trouble getting Philadelphia Philly hitters out. And
I remember before the series, Charlie says, you watch. He goes, there's going to be a moment when I'm going to use Stairs. Anthony, you watch. I'm going to use Stairs, and he's going to throw dead red. And Stairs going to hit a long way.
He did.
All right. Then the last thing is, get me excited for when the boys come back, because you were down there. What do you think about the squad, man?
Our squad, I really like it. I'm telling you, Ant, this is the first time I can honestly say I felt good about our lineup. And the fact, even though, like I said, we don't want this to happen, but the fact McCutchen now is probably going to be, whenever we do start up, if we do start up, he's probably going to be healthy to start the season. We got a kid, I don't know if you had a chance to see him, this kid Howard, his pitcher.
Yeah.
He's the real deal. And I know they were going to watch his innings this year. And who knows, he might go down if we start up or when we start up and pitch a couple games in the minor leagues. It wouldn't shock me at all to see this kid up here. He's a top of the rotation type pitcher. And you go with Zach Wheeler and Nola, and you put a guy like this guy up there, and Arrieta and Eflin. I like our team. I like our lineup. I like the fact that Segura really liked playing third base. Didi Gregorius is going to really help our team. He's great in the clubhouse. I know he didn't get very many hits in spring training, and I could care less about that, but this guy can still play shortstop, and he's going to hit. Believe me,
he's got power from that side too. So he's got power there.
Yeah. Like I said, Harper had a monster spring. I mean, he was locked in right from the start. JT was swinging the bat exceptionally well. King Reed liked the fact that he was playing one position. He really looked good at second base. So from top to bottom, and we had three like non-roster guys like Forsythe and Harrison and Walker. They're not even on the roster, and they were making bids to make our team. So it's going to be interesting, like I said, if and when we start up, what they're going to do, because I don't know if all three can make it. That's going to be something that Matt and Joe Girardi are going to have to figure out. But all three of them did a very good job in spring training. And you're talking about a veteran bench. They've all played in the big leagues for a long period of time. So you got that kind of stuff coming off the bench. And I'm looking at, if we do start up, there's going to be doubleheaders, and you have those guys like that sitting on the bench, maybe playing second game a doubleheader. You got some pretty good depth there. So I'm really excited about this team. And again, I wish we could have started, but the fact remains we've got to clean this up here, get this virus out, and then hopefully we can start up and the fans can see what kind of ball club we have, because it's the first time I can honestly say that I really think this team was ready to make a move this year.
You always speak from the heart, too. You never BS. That's why I love you. You always are real. And I know you love Girardi, too.
We've made some good hires. Girardi and Price, outstanding pitching coach. I was with him in Seattle when I was coaching with Lou Piniella. Juan Castro, the infield coach, and Joe Dillon, to be done a tremendous job with our hitters. I really like the selection of our coaches. Our manager's been through it all in New York. He's been in World Series. He's been through ups. He's been through downs. Like I said, I think everything's pointing in the right direction, and hopefully we can get it started and let people really appreciate what we're going to put on the field this year.
I love it. Bo, you are the greatest, man. I love you.
I'll be listening to you guys, and I know that for 3-4 hours we can take our mind off what's going on outside here, but we got to stick together. We got to obey the rules, and hopefully sooner rather than later we'll be back out there.
Amen, brother. You're a great leader. Thank you.
All right, Anthony. Take care.
There he is, the great Larry Bowie. He's the best.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.